The building committee would not let.
Yeah, that was the whole reason for me doing this, because I got to use the Britney Spears mic or whatever. Whatnot.
Britney Spears.
Okay, whatever. So, yes, Mr. Harper there does not like Britney Spears, apparently, so. But, all right, as you guys already heard, my name's Kevin Bruce. I don't know how many people here know me. I've been attending, as Chris said, Trinity for about 6 years, I think. I thought I'd give you a little background first about why I'm here at Trinity. Maybe somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago, I kind of had a real theological crisis in my life. I really started to doubt my salvation more than anything. And just by God's providence and grace, I guess, I was kind of led to this podcast that really had an emphasis on Reformed theology. It's kind of what you believe, what you know, and all this stuff. And they really emphasized things like soteriology, which is salvation, God's salvation, justification, sanctification, etc. But they also went into different aspects of like historical redemption, eschatology, many different types of categories, and they all. It really started to enlighten and help me understand a little bit about where I was struggling with. And I don't know, after hearing all this for so long, I kind of decided, well, you know, maybe I should try to find a church that they keep talking about, you know. And I thought, well, is there anything in Rochester like that, you know? So I was kind of went off and spent several months at different churches. But after a while, I kind of realized I couldn't find anything. And then finally, I found Trinity here, and I'm going, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for. I mean, it had the worship, it had the law-gospel distinctions, it had the focus and emphasis on preaching Christ from all the Scripture, you know, and I was just like, wow, this is incredible. So, anyway, I kind of fell in love with theology, and the reason I kind of tell you all this is because theology sometimes sounds really boring, and I know from personal experience I was kind of bored with theology once in a while, but I tell you, if it wasn't for the theology, I just would not be where I'm at right now. I'm kind of scared to imagine where I'd be at, because theology is really the groundwork. I mean, this is what God really wants you to know about who He is before He wants you to act on what His commands are. So this is I've kind of been saddled, I guess, with the whole theology class here a little bit. So, again, like Chris said, it'll be practical. I find all theology practical because it tells you who God is, what to believe about Him, etc. But anyway, so I want to kind of start out with that. And about a year ago, I think Chris did ask me to teach this class. And I don't really like being up in front of people. I'm kind of behind the scenes. You see me at the soundboard a lot or preparing the communion elements or whatever. And I'm not a public speaker, as you guys probably already know. So I made up all sorts of excuses. I mean, I'm kind of new to the whole Presbyterian Reform thing. You know, I don't like to smile very much, you know. You know, I don't speak well. So anyway, I was kind of a little reluctant, but, you know, after a while I kind of realized, hey, this kind of sounds a lot like Moses here, you know. So maybe I, you know, Chris always says, you know, don't use, you know, people as role models in the Bible, but it's not okay to not do what they do or whatever, how he puts that. So I think, well, you know, Moses is doing that. That was probably wasn't a good thing. So maybe I should not do it myself. So anyway, so that's kind of where I'm coming from a little bit. I don't know how many people know this, but I'm 47 years old, so I'm quite old. Yeah, really. So, anyway, so this is a... Yeah, anyway. I don't know where that came from, but anyway. So... maybe I should like follow the script here a little bit or something like that. So anyway, my interest in biblical covenant theology kind of came because when I was studying the Bible, when I was having my spiritual crisis, I actually went to Romans, and you know, I was reading passages out of the scripture, and I mean, things that I thought should have been obvious were confusing me. You know, some things like Romans 2:13 says, "It's for not the hearers of the word who are righteous before God, but the doers of the word." I'm going, well, you know, I knew from my own experience, I wasn't doing what the word told me to do. You know, I was pretty bad off. So I'm kind of thinking to myself, what does God mean here? You know, and eventually I kind of mounted to that. You know, this covenant theology is pretty much what, with this podcast, always kind of grounded everything in. Whether it was sanctification, whether it was justification, whether it was eschatology, whether it was historical redemption, it's always kind of based on these covenants. So I thought, well, maybe I should start understanding these covenants, you know. And so I started, you know, I'm kind of a reader, so I'll read things, you know. And I started reading different books on covenant theology, listening to podcasts on it. So that's kind of where I'm at today. So, in the next several weeks, I don't know if I'm going to have enough material to cover a whole half hour because I was told I was only going to be here about 20 minutes. But I will kind of explain a little bit about what we're going to go through. Obviously, our source material here is going to be Scripture. I hope that's pretty obvious. So we'll be looking at several different Scripture passages. But I'm not smart enough to just pull all this stuff out of here. So, actually, the main text we're going to use is Sacred Bond. And it's called Covenant Theology Explored. It kind of sounds like a bad Christian romance novel, but it's not. It's it's an excellent book on covenant theology. It kind of goes through the different covenants. And I'll be following this pretty much throughout the course of this these Sunday school classes. So this has, I think, 9 chapters in it, an introduction, and it covers the 8 major covenants. So there'll be covenant. Well, let's go through the rest of the books first. These other books I'll be borrowing from and using. Covenants Made Simple by John T. Rhodes. He's a International Presbyterian Church, I think, in the UK, I think, is what he was. Or is, and he also wrote a book that's really good. And if any guys want these books, just let me know, and I'll let you know what they are again. And Encountering Christ of the Covenants is an introduction to covenant theology. So I'm hoping to use a lot from this. And these two books really follow similar paths. I mean, they follow the different covenants, but this one also adds material on baptism and communion as well. So. Daniel McManigill, he's a URCNA pastor. So this is from Monergism Books. This is P&R Publishing. This book isn't specifically on covenants, but it has a good section on covenants. It's called Walking with Jesus Through His Word. It's by Dennis Johnson. He's a ordained PCA pastor. He's also, I believe he teaches at Westminster Seminary in California. So this book was amazing. It was excellent. He also talks about typology and Christ's threefold office in here. So that's it's a really good book to kind of. It's kind of like the book Pastor recommended, Seeing Jesus Through All the Bible, but it's kind of more on steroids, I guess. It's quite in depth. So these are all pretty basic, pretty introductory level books. This kind of gets a little bit more. I wouldn't say it's too hard to read, but it's a little bit above these other books. It's Introducing Covenant Theology. It was previously titled God of Promise by Michael Horton, and we have a couple copies out there, too. And I think we have 10 copies of The Sacred Bond out there in the bookshelf. So this is kind of more of an intermediate level book on this topic. So I actually read this book first, and I didn't fully understand everything he was talking about there. So then I went back and read The Sacred Bond, and then came back and read this again. This was really amazing book to read as well. So, and then the last book that's kind of an intermediate level is called The Christ of the Covenants by Old Palmer Robertson. He taught it at different seminaries. I think Westminster Theological Seminary, Covenant Seminary, and I think he also... RTS, that was it. Thank you. RTS Seminary. So I don't know what he's doing today. I've heard he's off in Africa or something like that. But anyway, this is a really good book. He has a little bit different take on the covenants. So, but it's, again, an excellent resource if you want it. And if you really want to get into it, I didn't bring these books with me because I haven't read them yet. But they're kind of upper level advanced class. Meredith Klein has a book called King and Prologue, which is basically on Genesis. And Gerhardus Voss has Biblical Theology, which isn't specifically on covenants, but it uses so much covenant theology in there. It's just incredible. So, and I've heard talks and lectures on both of those books. So I would recommend them, but I haven't personally read them myself. So with that, why covenants? Well, there's why covenant theology? Where does covenant theology fit within the grand scheme of things? Well, there's different theologies. There's like systematic theology, which is taking different topics of the Bible, kind of finding everything in the Bible that covers that topic. So if you want to talk about God, you look for all the different passages on God. If you want to talk about salvation, you look for the different passages on salvation. And that's called systematics. If you want to think of it in terms, you can think of a circle. You're always circling Scripture. You're always finding everything you can find about a different topic in Scripture. Then there's another different way to do theology. That's called biblical theology. And it's not biblical because it's more biblical than systematic. It's just biblical because they're sitting there looking at God's economy throughout all of redemption, kind of going from beginning to end and asking, what is God doing throughout the history of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. So that's kind of the biblical theology model. And it's kind of got a bum rap because a lot of liberals took it over and you got a lot of liberal theologians in there. But again, Gerhardus Voss is a great conservative guy on this topic. So if you ever want to read him, that'd be great. But then there's other theologies like historical theologies, which is looking at theology from basically the close of the canon onto the present, how theology advanced and all that stuff. And practical theology, which Chris covered before, is kind of looking at how this applies to my life. Covenant theology doesn't necessarily fit in any of those categories exactly. It's kind of it's probably closest to biblical theology, but it's kind of more of a system of theology. It's telling you, kind of in a broad sense, it's telling you, how should I be reading the Bible? How does the Bible want me to look at it, and how do you want me to read it, or in that sense? So covenant theology is basically kind of unifying the Bible from beginning to end. It brings it all together. Other systems seem to want to kind of chop that up into different periods, but covenant theology kind of brings it up into one unifying thread. So you see this unifying thread throughout all the Scripture, and that's God's promise to deliver and be basically the covenant code or the covenant formula, which is, I will be your God and you'll be my people. So that's kind of the whole covenant theology in a nutshell. But also covenant theology, again, God didn't give us the Bible as a systematic theology. He gave it as a history book. And through it, he tells us about himself through what he's done in history. And that's an amazing thing, because when you read it, you don't find out that God is, all-powerful because God says I'm all-powerful. You find out he's all-powerful because he brought his people through the Red Sea. And he delivered his people from, the plagues and all this stuff. And you don't find out that he's all-knowing because God just says he's all-knowing. He knows this because he's known me. He's known all you guys for the creation of the world. He knows all the stars in the heavens. So God relates to us and he tells us who he is through this covenant. When this covenant, on its most basic level, is a relationship with God. And that relationship is really what God, you know, wants with all of us. And we all have it, whether we realize it or not. Some of us, how do I put this? I'm not really sure how to put that exactly, but we'll get into that maybe a little bit later. But what I want you to realize is that this covenant is a relationship, and we'll get into the definitions of it next week and all that stuff. So this is just, again, a little primer, a little bit of a prelude to what we're doing. So I thought I would kind of walk through the next several weeks. September 20th, which is next week, will kind of be more of an introduction. So we'll kind of cover what is a covenant, what's covenant theology more, kind of get more in depth with that. 27th, no class because of extended fellowship time. Then October 4th is the covenant of redemption, which is kind of God's grand covenant, kind of the primary covenant that all the other covenants kind of flow out of. And then October 11th is the covenant of works. And then October 18th and 25th, again, no class because Rebecca Nyman will be talking about our Cambodia trip. And then there's the missions conference. And then November 1st will be the covenant of grace. And then after that, we'll be covering how that covenant of grace unfolds throughout the rest of Scripture through the Noahic covenant on November 8th. And November 15th will be the Abrahamic covenant. And November 22nd will be the Mosaic covenant. And then November 29th, again, no class, extended fellowship time. In December, we'll wrap up the whole topics of the covenants, and the Davidic covenant and the new covenant will be December 6th and 13th. 20th and 27th of December, we got Christmas and New Year's. And then January 3rd through January 24th is kind of a little bit open right now. I don't exactly know what I'm going to cover yet. I got ideas. But I was also thinking possibly covenant salvation, how the covenants work out in our salvation, covenant people who... What understanding the covenant theology, how that leads us to the people of God, who are those people, what does the Bible say about who belongs in that covenant? And then January 17th would be covenant life, which is kind of along the lines of sanctification. So January 24th, up for grabs. I don't really know what I'm going to do yet. So, but I can figure that's a long ways out. So anyway, that's pretty much all I really had today because, again, I was told I only had about 20 minutes, but I really don't know where we're at here. So, and we're about 5 minutes shy, so that's okay. So anyway, I thought I would open this up to some questions maybe. Throughout the course of this teaching series, we'll be looking at a lot of Scripture. So every time we get into a different covenant, we'll be looking at the Scripture and the evidence for that Scripture. But I thought I'd also open it up right now to questions that maybe people might think they have, or if there's any questions they might have throughout the course that in those last 4 weeks in January, I can maybe possibly open it up to those. You have the right to ask the questions. I have the right not to answer them if I don't know the answer. And I will allow... obviously, I'll throw it off to actually some of the elders because I'll be relying on the elders in this church a lot because I don't know everything. I don't have the final word on everything. And like any topic, I found out as I was studying it, there are differences of opinion on this. So I will be probably going down one road, but just realize that there's good and godly people that have differences of opinions on different topics. And most notably, it's the Mosaic Covenant that seems to be the biggest one. So anyway, with that, I'll just open up to some questions, if you have any. Obviously, you can ask questions throughout the course of the Sunday school class. But if you know anything right now that might help me to prepare the class for the next several weeks, I can just kind of keep those in mind. And as I come across these topics, I will include them. And so floor is yours, and I see Joe's raising his hand.
I don't know if you mentioned in the outline or for the next upcoming weeks, but signs and seals.
Okay. No, I did not mention that in the outline. So.
I'd love to hear more about that.
Okay, I'll give that off to Chris. Okay. So, anyway. Can I remind you your name?
John.
John, okay.
First, thank you for doing this. It doesn't sound easy. And I guess I would wonder, for many of us who have come from other traditions or who have family members in other traditions, I would love at some point to get sort of the take-home Thanksgiving table sort of soundbite, sort of, you know, in 30 seconds or less, kind of, you know, how to talk to your family.
Yeah, okay, good luck with that. this topic isn't really something you can do in a 30-second soundbite, but I will think about it, and as we go along, maybe we can do something with that. But, Ron?
Since John opened it up, I have questions. Explaining the distinction between covenant theology and dispensations.
Okay. Okay, I have thought about that actually, so maybe I can cover that in the January 24th. We'll see. Okay, we got Matt and we got Wes, sorry.
I have an easier question. I didn't hear who wrote the bad Christian romance novel.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Zachary Keel, he's an OPC minister, and Michael Brown, who's a URCNA pastor. So, Matt.
Kind of along the lines of different dispensational covenant, kind of where different denominations historically fit. I mean, it might be a really easy, quick summary for you. That'd be helpful. And where historically people have been.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
What, in your history class? He's teaching, I think, Reformed theology, aren't you, after this?
Reformation.
Reformation history. That was it. Sorry. But so, yeah, we can cover both. I'm sure repeating is the essence of remembering things, so maybe we can repeat both of them. So, any other questions?
I have an easy question.
Sarah. No, actually the answer is no. This is my first venture. I'm obviously a little nervous right now, and actually I can see why I don't wear this most of the time, because I am sweating like a pig right now, but that's not comfortable. I don't know, I'm just not comfortable putting these online or anything right now, because I'm new. I'm new to all this, but
Ethan's working on the logo of the Kevin Bruce podcast.
Whatever. So anyway, I'll think about it. I don't know. I don't think this one is. So, but this is kind of just this is kind of the covenant prologue to everything right now. So kind of the kickoff class more than anything. So Keith. Well, I don't know. I could, maybe.
Well, that's what I meant in terms of the sort of the practical. So this covenant theology is sort of very theoretical.
Okay.
But appearing even just in contrast to how different denominations look at it and how the distinguishes between other views like dispensationalism, which is a mosaic to it as well as covenant theology. But also the overworkings, like how does it imply how we have friendship, how it is that we do evangelism, the real practical overview. And I know, because I know you, that it does have an impact on the Christian life. How are you going to do that sort of during each class, or is that sort of all bundled in the January 24th?
It's all 24th of January. I don't know. I'll work on it. So that'll help me to prepare. Also, one thing that I really like about this book that I'm using, you kind of it explains what the covenant is, and then it goes through the Bible, it goes through the biblical passages that support that. But at the end, well, sometimes it, if it's relevant, it'll ask, what are the confessions? What do the Reformed confessions say about this covenant? And that's good, too, to use. And I'll be using the Westminster Confession as it's applicable for each covenant. But at the very end, they also, and this is somewhat what you're saying, a little bit different, but it says, well, who cares? What difference does this covenant make to me now? I mean, is it all just head knowledge, blah, blah, blah? Or does it have something, some practical implication for where I'm at right now? So, and that's what I really liked about each of those covenants is that they kind of said, okay, this is how it's relevant to your life right now. So I'll definitely be covering that. So maybe with that and the evangelism, how it applies, the friendships, whatever, I'll try to do both. So anyway. Oh, Ethan. I don't like Ethan. Ethan asks hard questions.
I want to pick on Keith just a little while. So, I think Jews are sort of covenantal in their approach to theology, and I think they would have a very different take on, you know, what, you know, the practical outworkings of covenant theology would be. So, it might be kind of, that may be a little bit too much to be asking. And he did say that we
okay, that really wasn't a question, so I'm not writing it down. But, but so I think we're going to be about time's up here. Oh, it is over time. It's 10:47. So I made it through the first day. So hopefully from here it's downhill. But anyway, so while well, let's close in prayer, and then we'll dismiss you and set off for the next service. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Chris's wonderful sermon this morning. I just pray, Lord, that I'm so grateful that he's doing Hebrews, because that dovetails with covenant theology so much. The whole book is so covenantal, and I also thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that as we go out through our day, that you will go with us this week into our jobs, into our work lives, to our friendships, and that you will be our God, and that we will be your people for you. In your name I pray. Amen.